Hey everyone, John Lakefun here. You know, as residents, it's really difficult to talk openly about our struggles. But take a listen as I interview your favorite EM educators about their stories. These conversations will lead us into the very first Resident Wellness Consensus Summit, a partnership between Essentials of Emergency Medicine, Academic Life in Emergency Medicine, and EMRA on May 15th, 2017 at Essentials of Emergency Medicine. For this episode, the one, the only, Rob Orman and Anand the Swami Swaminathan interview each other about their residency experiences.
Hey, Rob, I got a question for you.
What you got, Swami?
All right. Residency.
Yes.
Love it? You'd go back in a heartbeat and do your residency again, or was it really stressful?
I've got a couple answers for that because there's a couple levels of it. The training was awesome. And I felt like I was forged in the crucible into the shape of the proper doctor. Definitely.
Completely broken down into your component pieces and reassembled.
I don't know that I was intentionally broken down, but I was broken down. I will say this, my friend. Driving into every shift, 100% of the shifts, I felt a sense of dread. I'm just going to tell you, I felt a sense of dread because I knew that I was going to be overwhelmed every shift. Overwhelmed by something, and not like emotionally overwhelmed, but just overwhelmed with having too many things to do and not enough time and not enough attention to be able to give attention to all of them. And in all honesty, I still feel that stress. I remember I went to ASAP or SAM or one of the conferences as a senior resident, and I took this survey, this burnout survey. And I got they said it's totally anonymous, this, that, and the other thing. I got a letter from the survey company. I was like, wait a second, this is supposed to be anonymous.
That doesn't seem anonymous.
I know. They said, we're really concerned that you're going to burn out. Yeah. And
wow.
I thought, first off, I'm tougher than the rest. I am, you know, I'm really strong at this. I can push through this. And the letter clearly said, here are your areas of weakness. I didn't listen to it. And I did, in fact, burn out. I burned out a couple times in my career. But I found it very stressful, very difficult. The environment, like my attendings, were so awesome. Such great teachers. Such great people. I'm friends with a lot of my attendings now. Like just wonderful human beings. The stress was stress I put on myself. And it was the expectation. And I'll say this, I'm not proud to admit it. I wanted to look good in the eyes of everyone else. Like for other people to say, that's the guy, that's the guy. And that was very hard because through the majority of residency and even into the beginning of attendinghood, I didn't know anything really. I mean, it was such an imposter syndrome. So I don't even know if that answers the original question, but I found residency extremely stressful. How about you?
I think those things are hard to play off each other, right? Like you go into it and you want to perform well. These guys selected you to come to their residency. All those expectations that are built up, but we're all going to fall down. And I don't think that I entered each shift with the same sense of dread that you may have, but it was there. It was there in the back of my head. Like I knew at some point it was going to be too much. Physically, I was going to be overwhelmed by the sheer amount of patients that were coming down on top of me, right? I remember as a second year resident, we do half nights, half day shifts in a month. I remember like you come in for that night shift and you come in at like 8, and for 4 hours, there's other residents around, right? So you're like, okay, I'm doing well. But you know, at midnight, when midnight hits, all of those residents are going to sign out to you and you're going to have to carry all their patients plus all the new ones. And I remember like 11:15, you get that sense of dread of, oh damn, my patient volume, the patients I'm carrying personally are going to go from 10 to 30 in the next 15 minutes. And that's going to suck. And that, it is really hard. I think that for me, it was, I wanted to live up to the external expectations, not necessarily of the people that were training me, but, family expectations, right? I mean, not that they ever said to me, you've got to do X, Y, or Z, but I felt it. I felt that I wanted to carry the name, right? My dad's a doctor. I wanted to keep that name alive of, you know, great physicians. And, that was really tough. I think the hardest thing for me with all of it wasn't the amount of learning, the amount of education, the amount of reading, all of that stuff. It was trying to find time to do things aside from being a resident with, you know, six 12-hour shifts in a week, there's only so much time left in the day to do anything. And it's like you go to work, especially like in the winter, right? You wake up, you get to work before the sun comes up. You work a 12-hour shift, you leave, and the sun's gone. And by the time you get home, you have enough time to like wash the grime off of you, shovel a sandwich in your mouth, and pass out. And there was nothing else except for that. That's tough, right? Because we're social people. We like interacting with people. And I think, you know, it stretched my relationship with my wife. It stretched my relationship with my friends, with my family. And that's hard because it's exactly when you need someone to just be like, forget about all the shit. I'm behind you 100%. Even though you have ignored them for the last 2 years, they're all behind you 100%. That's hard.
See, so we've got this question. What kept you sane during residency? I don't know that I had a strategy of, okay, I need to do this so that I stay sane. I think that you do some sort of natural decompression. For me, it was riding my bike. That was the thing. And I did that as much as possible. I was in Denver, so I could do it almost year round, except when it snowed. And it was pretty much fitness and also watching TV and watching movies. Like I would come home from a shift sometimes and watch like 5 hours of TV and just be a drooling mess. I'd like to say it was something, you know, much more academic or professorial, but no, it was in the age of the VCR and I would put in reruns of the X-Files. Let's just be honest.
Well, you have to have something like kind of mindless to do, right? To totally offload your brain. So the first thing, I think exercise is huge, right? So for me, it was running. It wasn't biking. And I ran every day. I mean, during that time, I was doing marathons and I rarely, if ever, missed a day of running because that was my outdoor time. That was my time to myself. I don't carry an iPod or anything. There was no music. It was just me running, let my brain just completely open up. No thoughts in there at all, which I know, Rob, what you're thinking. There's very little going on up there, but when I ran, it was nothing. There was nothing going on. So I made sure that I made time for that. And that meant, you know, I remember my orthopedics rotation, like you had to be in the hospital at 6:30 in the morning and I lived about 45 minutes away from work. So I was up at like 4 o'clock in the morning going for a run, but I knew if I did that, I would be fine for the rest of the day. I could make it through.
Did you have every other night call on ortho?
No, we didn't. We had 2 nights a week of call, but the days that you weren't on call, it was like, you know, you got there at 6:30 in the morning and you left at 7, 8, whatever. So there were long days. So that was the only time I had. So I made sure that I got that time in and that definitely made me feel better. And I did the same thing. I watched a lot of crappy TV. I kid around. That's where I learned English. I learned English by watching crappy TV when I was a kid. That's only semi true. I had an Xbox too. And you know what? Playing video games, like there's nothing more mindless than playing video games. And it was just like, I'd come home and just plug something in and just like for an hour, let my brain do nothing but smash minions with my fists, virtual fists.
Yes, I played a lot of video games as well. Totally. I forgot about that. Yes. All right. I've actually thought about this one a lot. What would you do differently if you could do it again during your residency?
This question is really hard because you look at it and you're like, but I'm pretty successful right now. Like I'm doing okay. So why would I change anything? Whatever I went through, it was probably worth it. It was probably worth it. The whole deconstruction, stressing myself out about it. It was probably worth it because I'm pretty happy with the place that I'm in now. I think if I had to do it again, the one thing I really would have done was make more time for friends and family. I think that was like the first thing that left, right? Like that was the first thing that I stopped doing. It was, I got to play my video games. I got to watch crappy TV. Oh, by the way, I got to read Rosen's or Tintinelli's and I got no time to hang out with my friends, no time to spend time with family. I wish that I had taken more time to do that. Not that I lost friendships or anything like that, but you know, there are these experiences that I missed out on because I was so hellbent on using the little bit of time that I had left over to read or learn more. And not that that's a bad thing, but there are experiences I missed out on that I wish I didn't.
Yeah, I think we do lose sight of that sometimes, that residency is in fact a time for learning. And when you see cases, this is the time when you are going home and you are reading the textbook and, or, you know, listening to the C3 or whatever on this particular issue so that you know it. But for me, if I were to go back and do it again, I would care much less about external validation and look at what was my internal sense of accomplishment and really not be so focused on that. You know, you focus on the in-service, you focus on, you know, getting good write-ups on your residency. My focus would be on how do I learn the best and how do I become, it just sounds so trite, but what do I need to do during this time and this, let's say this rotation or this week to become a better doctor? Like, what is one thing that I can do? And that was for me, that's for me and my future, my future patients, but it has nothing to do with what the chiefs think or what the attendings think. That's, you know, everybody wants you to do well and have a good education, and you just have to realize that.
I want to take your answer. I want to go back and I think it's a great point. Seeking that external validation is never going to leave you happy, right? I mean, it's got to be internally motivated. So I guess, you know, again, taking that time to reflect and say, what do I need to know? What's going to make me happy with my job? Did you ever ask yourself during residency, what would make me happy in my career? I don't think I ever asked that question until after I finished. And I was like, what would make me happy? And I don't think I asked it for the first 4 years out. And then I said, what actually makes me happy with what I'm doing? And now, and I learned this, I learned this from one of our friends, Ruben Strayer. Every time somebody asks me to do something, I ask myself, is this going to make me happier than I am right now? Because if it's not going to make me happier than I am right now, why am I doing it? Right? I mean, that applies to patient care. Like, I'm happier if I deliver better patient care. So how does this make me happier than I am right now? It's an important question to ask yourself. Now, if the answer to that question is nothing makes me happier than I am right now, why am I even in medicine? Well, that's a separate thing we have to address. But I mean, think about that. We never ask that question of ourselves. So yeah, stop it with the external validation. You're never going to be good enough for that other person.
And there you have it. MRAB's Rob Orman and Anand Swaminathan. Thanks, guys. If you're a resident, sign up for the Resident Wellness Consensus Summit via the HIPPO education page on the EMRA website, or find out more information at essentialsofem.com and in this Academic Life in Emergency Medicine blog post. We'll see you in May 2017. Genlink Fun Out.